Amen. That's our anthem, isn't it, this morning? It should be our everyday anthem, Amazing Grace. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Mark chapter 9. This morning, let's go to verse 33, and we'll go to verse 41. If you're able, let's stand in honor of God's Word as we read. Last Sunday, we looked at the story about Jesus casting out the demon that was in the boy, teaching his disciples, teaching them again that he's going to die, but he's going to be raised again. And as they leave Galilee, they're coming to Capernaum, and let's start there in verse 33. He came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." And John answered him, saying, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us." But Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your precious word this morning. Lord, we thank you for the truths that you teach us through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, today we ask that your Holy Spirit convict. We ask that your Holy Spirit encourage. We ask that your Holy Spirit comfort. There may be some of us in here this morning that are putting ourselves before our families. We may be putting ourselves before the church. We may be putting ourselves above everybody else instead of doing what you've called us to do, to be humble. Lord, there may be some in here today that has not ever received you because, Lord, they will not humble themselves. Lord, I pray that you break the heart of stone and give them the heart of flesh this morning. Lord, I pray for ones here today that may criticize, that may look out among ones that are doing your work and nitpick or make fun of or whatever the case may be. Lord, I pray that they are convicted today. The Lord, you have called. And Lord, when you have called, there are people in various denominations that may not hold true to some of the doctrines that we hold here in the Baptist Church. But Lord, they are doing your will. Lord, let us seek your face this morning. And Lord, let us understand what you've called us to do and what you've called us to be. Lord, today, break our pride. For we give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, humility is probably one of the toughest things that we deal with as a Christian believer because we're taught the exact opposite in the world. If you're in the business world or you're in any type of competitive nature, you're always taught to be first and do whatever you got to do to get there. And trust me, you see that in just about everything. I'm sure everybody this morning could give a testimony on how they've seen in the business world, how they've seen maybe even in their family, how they've seen in even in the church, where people try to exalt themselves before everybody else, because it's all about them, okay? Humility in the Greek means lowliness of mind. It means poor in spirit, that we should be spiritually bankrupt. Paul writes in Philippians 2:3, he says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." Wow. We may need to talk about that today. Jesus was the ultimate servant because he even went to death on the cross. He came to serve, not to be served, as we're going to look at Mark 10 later on in the next couple of weeks. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Jesus is an ultimate example of humility. Paul is an example of humility. He said, "Christ came to save sinners." And Paul said, "Of who I am chief." We've got people in the local church today that believe they don't sin. If you don't believe that, just ask them sometimes. Paul said he was the chief among sinners. He says that he is the least of the apostles. He's not even worthy to be accounted as one. That was Paul. So when we think about humility today, I want us to think about this. John Bunyan wrote in the Great Pilgrim's Progress, "Christiana and her companions must descend into the valley of humiliation." Bunyan says that it is a steep hill and the way is slippery. C.S. Lewis said that humility is not thinking less of ourselves, but C.S. Lewis said it's thinking of ourselves less. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." Now think about this today, this attitude of meekness. You know people like this, that it's not about show, it's not ever about them, but it's about everybody else before them. You know people like this. You work with people like this. You have family members that are like this. You have people in the church that are like this. That it's never about them. It's always about others. I would encourage you today, though, church. There's sometimes when we start to think that we're humble. And I would encourage you to think about this. That when you start thinking you're humble, because when you think that about yourself, that, "Oh, I'm a humble guy," or "I'm a humble lady," then let's just be honest, you're back to being prideful. So I think about this sometimes with myself, to try to be humble. I hate birthdays. I hate celebrations that revolve around Michael. I don't ever want to be acknowledged. I don't want to ever be in the newspaper. I don't want to ever be in any type of spotlight. I can't stand it. And somebody told me one time on my birthday, it was somebody I love very dearly, "Let us just enjoy you for who you are and shut up and let us have a good time." Okay. We can do that. But sometimes we try to say, "Oh, I'm a humble guy," when in reality we've all just become prideful. I like that little show that comes on RFD TV, Country Family Reunion. And all the old country music stars get together and they play. And Bill Anderson and Vince Gill were talking one time. And somebody said, "Would you two just shut up?" Said, "Y'all are making us sick." Because Bill Anderson would say, "Oh, Vince, you've wrote some of the best songs and you've got the greatest voice." And then Vince Gill would tell him, "Whispering Bill, you don't know how many songs touched my heart as a kid." And they were just going back and forth. And they said, "Would you just shut up?" Right? Sometimes we use this humility, and in reality, we're being very prideful. I think about my Buffalo Bills. Their motto on the wall before they go out, the coach always says it when they break out, "We're going to stay humble and hungry." But some of those professional athletes are the farthest thing from humble when you think about that. A lot of people like the self-gratitude. They like the congratulations. They like the accolades. Who doesn't? You'll never see me taking a selfie. You'll never see me on Facebook. You'll never see me in social media because I just don't want that of me out there. And then somebody might come back and say, "Well, you're being prideful." Because don't you know, in today's society, everybody's on social media? Well, not everybody. But when we look at this, God has told us through His Word about being humble. Micah 6:8 says, He has told you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? How many of us today are walking humbly? This morning, Jesus and His disciples are on the road from Galilee to Capernaum. And Barclay says that when the rabbi walked, the students stayed behind like a snake. Never would they walk shoulder to shoulder with the rabbi, but they would get in a line and they would walk as the master walked to where he was going. The Bible says that he got to a house. Some people says that this was Peter's house. We don't know this, but that's what some people say. And it says when he came to Capernaum, he says that when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? Now, this is interesting because in the story in Luke, chapter 9, verse 47, the Lord already knew what they were thinking. Of course He did. Hey guys, He knows what you're thinking this morning. And so, as He asked them, what were you disputing? There's that word that simply means, what were you arguing about? What were you arguing about on the road? And it gets here to verse 34. And they kept silent because it was an embarrassing silence, because it was probably a topic that they argued about the most. Peter, James, and John, maybe some of the other disciples that we don't know much about through the Word of God, Bartholomew, we may not know. But here's these disciples disputing among themselves who's going to be the greatest. We're going to later see this when John and James ask him the same question. And so as they keep their silence, for on the road they disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. In verse 35, the Bible says that he sat down. Every time the rabbi sat down, he was going to teach a principle. He was going to teach a truth. The rabbi never stood and taught. The rabbi always sat. Now that's kind of different today when you think about preachers standing. When I teach the class, I stand and I have my lectern in front of the class. I stand and teach. Today, I stand and teach. I've seen Dr. Charles Stanley, because of his age, I think, more than anything. I see a table up there on the platform, and he sits, and he teaches as he sits. But you very rarely see preachers sit. Jesus sat. And as he sat down, he's going to give them this incredible truth that's exactly opposite of what you and I are taught today. We're taught scratch, claw, do whatever it takes to get to the top. If you're going to be in education, this is what you need to do to get to the top. If you're going to be in the business world, this is what you got to do to get to the top. If you're going to be in the church, this is what you do to get to a quote-unquote title. If you're going to be in this family, this is what you do to get to the top. Okay? He sat down and he called the 12 and he said to them, wow, this is profound, guys. If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Don't you know this shut them up? Anyone desires to be first, wow, he shall be last. And he shall be servant of all. Now let's talk about this real quickly. Praise and recognition feel good, amen, but it should be the last thing on a Christian's mind. Because we never do what we do for the glory of us. We always do what we do, no matter if it's in the church, no matter if it's with our family, no matter if it's for others, no matter if it's on our job. We always do what we do for the glory of God. That's what we do. So, I don't need my boss coming around patting me on the back. It's nice. But I don't need that. I don't need people in the church. It's nice. Oh, Pastor, you're doing a great job. We're proud of you. It's nice. Don't get me wrong. But I don't need that because that's not why we do what we do. I don't need people to come up and say, appreciate you doing that. I don't need those things. Because we don't do things for us. We do things for the Lord. And so when we look at this today, Jesus says, if any one of you desires to be first, he shall be the last of all and servant of all. What does this look like? Well, our positions that the Lord has given us is not to act like we are over others. We are to humbly serve others. Somebody, when we're out in public, will ask me, well, who's this with you? Well, we go to church together. I don't ever say, well, I'm their pastor. We go to church together. We don't ever lord ourselves over anybody. Anytime somebody ever asks me at work, well, at Alba Golden, who is this person to you? Oh, we work together at Alba Golden. Never was I a principal over this person. And so we need to think about our attitudes. We need to think about our humility when it comes to saying, Lord, you may have given us these positions, but we don't use these positions in positions of authority to bully, in positions of authority to lord over, in positions of authority to try to push an agenda. It's not what we do. See, when we're called to Christ, we're called to be servants to all. Not just a particular group in the church. Not just a particular group in your job. Not just a particular group here and there that we serve. We're called to be servants to all. And we're called to be last to all. Guys, this is profound. It really changes our way of thinking, doesn't it? So when we think about people in our church, they know everybody in a certain age group. But they don't know anybody else in another age group. They could walk into Sunday school class and name everybody that's in that class, but they couldn't walk in another Sunday school class and name anybody's name in there because they don't know them. Why? Because they have not become a servant to all. If I'm a servant to all in the church, folks, we got to know people in the church. We got to know these families that come to our church. We've got to make recognition and meet ourselves, and we can't be afraid because of a pandemic. We've got to get out there and we've got to know people and relate to people and get on their level with people because, guys, I'm telling you, people need the Lord. We're going over the second great awakening in our U.S. history class, and I was teaching on Charles Finney created the public invitation, quote unquote, and I could preach another message on that. And I asked my students, all 78 of them in U.S. history in 8th grade. I said, how many of you have seen a public invitation in church? Out of 78, only 5 raised their hand. That's how many of our kids are even going to church now. I asked them, I said, really, guys, how many of you go to church on Sunday? They said, well, Mr. Miles, we go to youth group on Wednesday night. I said, that's great. How many of you go on Sunday morning with your families? Very few. Guys, I'm telling you, this is where we're at. This is where we're at. And so when we become servants to all, it's not about us and it's not about our little church and it's not about our little format that we go by. But guys, there are people that are dying and going to hell because we sit in our comfortable pews doing nothing about it. I would encourage you to think today. We need to be a servant to all. And we need to be last among all. Because it's not about us. It's about the Lord. And so, Dr. Roy B. Zook said this about humility. When we're to humbly serve others, we to do it by teaching. What does that look like? I always love what Brother Fred used to say. He said, you're the only Bible some people ever read. That's the truth. That is the truth. Somebody asked me the other day, and here I go again, being a little prideful. They said, hey, why are you smiling all the time? Because I got that joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Amen? Right? And so We get in a teacher's meeting and there's some debate going on. They said, Michael, what do you think we ought to do? I said, I'm with you fellas. I'm with you fellas. And one lady said, man, you're the most easygoing person I've ever worked with. That's a compliment to me. Here I go, a little prideful again, right? It's hard to be humble sometimes, right? And so I want you to think about you, and I want you to think about me, and I want you to think this direction that we're going for the Lord, are we that cantankerous, bitter, it's got to be my way or the highway? And if you don't do it my way, we're going to have problems. There are churches splitting all over Wood County today because of that crazy attitude. And I can tell you too, right here this morning, that need our prayer immensely because of situations like that. People that got to have it their way. Man, I'm telling you guys, we're in a crisis. We're in the church. We're supposed to let our light shine, not be dimmed out by the things of the world. Dr. Roy B. Zook says that we are to teach as a precept of teaching. We're to be an example. How many of you are an example to somebody else? How many of you have that mentor? How many of you have that disciple that you're working with, bringing alongside you? And then the last thing is, he says that you can definitely show humility through your experience. There's been many of you in here today that have painfully suffered. There's many of you in here today that could have said, God, I'm not going back. I'm not going back to church because this has happened. My lot in life has not been fair. But you keep coming because you have a relationship with the Lord that is unbreakable. Praise God for that this morning. Divisions and disputes in churches would never occur if the only desire of the church, the pastor, the deacons, the elders, other elected officers, was to serve one another. It's not about position. It's not about title. It's about service. About service. So Jesus uses this profound example. He uses this profound example of a little child. Little child means one that's probably just started to walk. Many people said it was Peter's. We don't know. But he takes this little child, and I love this language here in the Greek. He took the little child and he set him in the midst of him. He takes this little child and he puts him right up here by him. This beautiful illustration. And as he takes this little child and he puts it up there, puts the little boy right up there by him, he says this. He says, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. True believers humble themselves like little children. You think about your kids, and you think about those kids that need you. They need the Father, right? Right? They have a dependency on you. They need you. Even when Macy says, Daddy, can you put this dress on my Barbie? They need you, right? They need you to do things for them that are outside what you do. Daddy, will you help me do this? Daddy, will you do this? Daddy, you know what I'm saying? They need you. Kids need you. The second thing about kids that we see, little children, is that they're so innocent. They're so innocent. It was ridiculous. Brooks' 12-year pediatric exam at the pediatrician, and they made her fill out a survey, and she asked Jacqueline, she said, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? She had no idea because she was oblivious to what was tobacco, what was alcohol. And that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing she don't know these things. They ask her about STDs. I mean, it's crazy. This is what eats me alive, and I'm going to get off on a rabbit trail here real quick. There are schools in our community that will let police officers come in and educate our children about the dangers that are out there on Snapchat, but will not let the bird songs come in and sing praises to God. That bothers me, church. That bothers me. And so I think about these children. They're innocent. They're innocent. Not only are they innocent, but when you see children, they're vulnerable, aren't they? They're vulnerable. we go out in the woods in the evening to run our dog, and we get out there, and I'll tell the girls, I'll say, look, here's where the coyotes have poo-pooed, and here's where they've cut up right in here, marking their trail. And I'll say, look up here at these deer tracks and everything. It'll start getting dark, and they'll look up at me, and little Abby says, Daddy, can we go back to the truck? They're vulnerable. They need their daddy to protect them, right? And then last but not least, what do we see about little kids? We see that they're humble. They're humble. They don't ever want recognition. Our little Abby went and spent the night with a couple and went and spent the night with her little friend and went and picked her up yesterday afternoon. And they said, Michael, we had never known she was even here. She just plays and she's so quiet. And said, hey, humble, humble. I want you to think about this, guys, because whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. How are we to come to Christ? We are to come to Christ in humbleness. How do we do that? We don't do that. He does that for us. He's the one that gives us the gift of faith that breaks our hearts to show us that we need to be repentant, that we're a sinner, so that we can do what? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's the one, not us. So when we look at this, whoever receives me, receives not me, but praise God, him who sent me. Him who sent me. So when I think about this today and look at this, God's looking at our hearts this morning. He's wondering who of us have been humbled. He's wondering and knowing why some of us still, in our sinful pride, do what we do. And I think the reason we continue to do what we do is because many of us are afraid of competition. Why? Because that's what we've been taught. Follow along with me as we go to the next verse in verse 38. In verse 38, we see John, who probably, as we know later on, is going to talk about, let me be on the right side of your throne. Okay? Here's somebody that wants to be first. And so John's a little afraid of competition. I'm so thankful to listen to the hearts of the area youth pastors that have gotten together for this LOL 4C, that it's not ever about a certain church, that it's about everybody coming together to spread Jesus Christ to the community of kids. I love that. I love that it's not about competition. And I love it that they've got a booth set up every year where kids that can go to that are not churched, and they take the names of those kids not churched, and those youth pastors in this area take those kids and they divide them up and give them to the local youth pastors, and the youth pastors make contacts with those kids. It's not saying, well, First Baptist gets everything or New Hope gets everything. There's no competition. We're not in competition with each other. This is for the Lord. And I hate it when churches get in competition. People ask you, well, how many did you run this Sunday? What does it matter? What's going on here? What's going on there? All these competitions that are going on within churches. It'll just make you sick. Because we're not in competition. This is not the AFC Championship. This is for the glory of God. And so when we look at this, John was scared of competition. Because look at what he says next. This is what scares us away from humility. He says in verse 38, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us. Now, that could have been John the Baptist's followers. It could have been the 70 followers that Jesus commissioned that they could go out and cast demons. It could have been one of them. He says, this person does not follow us, and they're casting out demons in your name. And we forbade him because he does not follow us. John wanted the monopoly on Jesus Christ. Boy, I know a lot of churches like that today. I know a lot of churches that look down on us because we're Baptist. I know a lot of churches today that call us, we're not the true church. I know a lot of people today that look down upon other people. Listen, guys, I know people across denominations that I'm friends with, And I know one in one church that believes that they're the true church. And I'm telling you what, if he ever come to New Hope Baptist Church, I would receive him in a heartbeat. And I know the church would too, because of his heart. He is truly regenerated by the Lord. I know people in various denominations that are truly regenerated by the Lord. And sometimes we think we have the monopoly on everything. Well, if they're not part of the Baptist church, they're going to hell. Going to hell. If they've not been baptized, they're going to hell. Show me that in the Word of God. You can't. And so when we get here today and we look at this, this guy's casting out demons. He's not following Jesus and the disciples. So John says, don't do that anymore. Don't do that anymore. Look at verse 39. Jesus said, do not forbid him. For no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. Guys, there's a lot of good folks that have been saved by Christ that are doing a lot of good works for the name of Jesus Christ. I know an Assembly of God church in our community that has an outreach program for people that are struggling in their homes in poverty, that blesses hearts. I wonder sometimes why people look down upon that and say, well, they're with the Assembly of God. And they're out there blessing people's hearts when we're sitting on pews. How many people have we served? I think that's a question we have to ask. So let's go back and let's look at this. He says, do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name and soon afterward can they speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. Guys, there's no competition between true believers. No competition between true believers. This LOL 4C conference that's going to happen February 9th is not put on by New Hope Baptist Church. This LOL 4C conference is churches that have come together for the goal to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. Praise God that we have people in this community that want to see the Lord proclaimed. They want to see the Lord proclaimed. Friday nights, I usually don't have a good Friday night off, but I did this Friday night and I got to sit in my recliner. What a blessing. And I was flipping through the channels, and I turned on wrestling, and it was the same old, same old. I'm just so sick of it, so I flipped the channel. I just keep flipping. There's nothing on. Nothing on TV, right? So I flip it, and I finally get to one of the TBN or inspirational channels, and sometimes I'm very leery of when I watch on things like that. But Matthew Hagee was on there. And I know John Hagee can be very charismatic. You've probably heard John Hagee. You probably watched him pray. Matthew Hagee was on there, and he was talking about people that have overcome difficult trials in their life. And he was interviewing the African-American pastor that was at the church in South Carolina where the white supremacists come in during their prayer meeting and killed 9 people. One of them happened to be his wife. He gave an incredible testimony. And he gave all glory to God. And I was thinking, Lord, you always work this out. When I need to use an example in a sermon, that's a great example to use in a sermon. I don't know what that church's mission is in South Carolina, but I know this, that man, his wife went to be with the Lord through this tragic shooting. Through all of this, he was talking about the power of forgiveness that God gave him to forgive that shooter. He was saying he is able to live with himself now in unison with the Lord because he was able, not through himself, but because God gave him the power to forgive that shooter. I can't even imagine, church. Can't even imagine. I don't think any of us could until we're put in that position. And Matthew Hagee did a great job interviewing. Everything was glory to God. And I was thinking, for he who is not against us is on our side. Some of us feel like we have the monopoly on church, on the monopoly on the Bible. We feel like that we're the only way. Well, let me tell you, church, it's not the church who saves you. The only way is Jesus Christ. He's the one who saves. Last but not least, so what do we do here? How do we reconcile humility with competition. How do we reconcile this humility with competition? What do we do to glorify the Lord? Well, I'm thankful through His Word, He always gives us the answer. Amen. Look at the next verse. In the next verse, He says this, "For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in My name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Aren't you thankful for that today? That when we show kindness to others in the name of Jesus Christ, that He's the one that gets the glory. He's the one that receives the reward. There was a story of an African missionary who taught these little primary African girls this verse about giving whoever a cup of water in the name of Jesus Christ. And these little girls saw these tribal men come into their village. And they were enemies. They were scared of them. But they had listened to what the missionary had taught them. And they went to the well and they got a cup of water. And they took it to this tribe that warred against this tribe. And those men sat down by the well with smiles on their faces, these little girls giving them a drink of water. That was faith put into action. And the Lord has called us today to give that cup of water. My prayer is today that if we're suffering with prideful intentions, prideful actions, we've ballooned ourselves and self-inflated our ego to make us think that we're better than what we truly are. I pray today that the Holy Spirit has busted that. I pray today that we humble ourselves before the Lord so that He can be exalted. There may be some here today that are struggling with issues in their own hearts about different denominations, different things that are going on outside the church, and saying, well, we need to focus on the inward part of the church. Well, let me tell you about the inward part of the church. The inward part of the church starts dying when you don't have an outward focus. And so my prayer today is that we start having an outward focus to our community, to our people around us that are unchurched, to our people around us that are unsaved. And I pray that we let the light shine for Jesus Christ so that He gets the glory that He deserves. By the way, we're running out of time. I had some more things, but I'll save it for later. By the way, Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress, Christiana made it to this valley of humiliation. You know what he said? He said it was the best land. He said the meadows were green. He said that humiliation was the best estate. I pray that that's where our hearts are today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we humble ourselves before You, Lord, for Your exaltation. Lord, we're thankful this morning that Your Word teaches that You oppose the proud. And Lord, there's many of us in here today that need to be on our knees because of our prideful spirit, because of our prideful egos, because of our prideful personalities. Lord, I pray that You break us. You give grace to the humble. Lord, I pray that You encourage hearts today. I pray that You put on our minds and on our hearts that there are people out there today, this morning, that are in Your will, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, it's not about competition with New Hope Baptist Church and anybody else, but Lord, it's all for Your glory and for Your kingdom. And Lord, today, I pray that You put us in unison, that there are people that are thirsty, that are in need of a drink of water. And Lord, I'm not talking about a physical drink of water. I'm talking about the water of life that You offer. Lord, I pray that You put on our hearts to be witnesses for You, to share the good news that Jesus saves. We love You and we praise You, and we give You all the glory here today. In Jesus' name, Amen. Church, I appreciate you being here this morning. Such a good crowd for the 8:30 service. And just a reminder of all the announcements, all the prayer requests. Sunday school is about to begin. Tonight, we're back in the book of Proverbs, and we'll have our monthly business meeting after the service tonight. Hope you can attend and be a part of that. Any word or announcement? Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Hope everybody has a great day.